Hi, this is Mary Kay's Positivity Podcast. I'm a yoga and meditation teacher and life coach. I'm also author of several self-help books. Hi, everyone. Today I have Claire Unkifer. And Claire is an empowering speaker and coach who brings a unique blend of expertise with her background in clinical nursing, energy therapy, and life and transformational coaching. She helps people break free from past traumas, self-limiting beliefs, and long-standing issues with her holistic approach to depression and anxiety. So, Claire, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I'm excited about our conversation.
I know. I just love helping people with anxiety and depression because life shouldn't have to be that way. And I really appreciate any feedback you can give us. So tell us a little bit about your journey.
I got into this work based on my own experience. I will say the word suffered with depression and anxiety for years. And I did all the things that I was supposed to do. And being a nurse, like, I'm not anti-therapy, I'm not anti-medication. But there was a point that I remember saying to myself, there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be another way. This can't be how it is, because it wasn't helping. And I talked to so many people who are in therapy, taking meds, and it helps a little bit for a little while, but it's not true and lasting change. And once I said those words, I cast something out into the universe. I found subconscious work, and my mind was blown that depression and anxiety are symptoms of the problem. And the problem is, more often than not, some sort of belief that we've formed about ourselves or the world around us. Mm-hmm. And we all have 1 to 3 that affect everything in our lives. And once we can uncover them and upgrade them and just truly not believe that anymore, our lives change, and happiness is a byproduct of that.
Can you share what these limiting beliefs were for you?
Sure. The biggest one for me was that I wasn't lovable at my core. Mm-hmm. That the me that is me is not lovable just the way I am. And in fact, worse than that, I didn't believe I was even likable.
Wow.
And I had a lot of trauma growing up that contributed to that, but I wasn't aware of it. And that's why I think talk therapy didn't work as well for me, because I could talk about things, but I didn't have access to the information that I needed to become aware of to truly make big shifts. And so that was one. And then another one I had was, good things don't happen to me. And I wasn't aware of that one. That was in my subconscious mind, lurking.
Right. Shut down everything.
Yeah. And so once I learned how to change these beliefs, and that it working with a subconscious mind is not scary. It's much like just intuition, really.
Right.
And we are very much connected to it. Everything started changing. And I got really excited. I went, wow, this is what it's like to love myself. This is an odd and different feeling.
Wow.
And then when I started working with clients, I noticed some patterns in their unhappiness that I also shared with them. So the program that I created targets those patterns. One of them is just not feeling like we can be ourselves.
Oh, like, interesting. Yes.
And authenticity, and how we're socially conditioned to think, feel, behave, and behave in ways that don't disappoint people,
right,
or that please other people. And we needed to do that as children.
Oh, right.
But we don't need to do that as adults, but we're hardwired, right? Just a few hundred years ago, if we got exiled by the group, that might have meant death.
Right.
But we really don't encourage people to do what is right for them. We encourage people to do what we think is right for them, or what we would do in that situation.
Right.
And don't allow that uniqueness. And then learning how to communicate with our intimate partners in an argument-free way. Mm-hmm. That's been a game changer
Yeah.
in my relationship. And then understanding how to release stuck emotions. So I would say those are the three big things. Understanding mm-hmm. the root cause, which is a belief, mm-hmm. giving yourself permission to be you, and then learning how to have anxiety. And instead of sitting with it for hours, days, weeks, months, years, mm-hmm. receiving the message and letting it go.
That's really interesting, because I do find as a society, we try to mold to other people's expectations and mm-hmm. fit in the group, and we just want to belong. And even when I was in the working world, the best I ever operated in my job was when I wasn't afraid of being fired, because I thought, oh, good, I'll just be able to be home with my kids. And I thought,
fire me, please.
I know. And I was like, kicking butt. And I thought, why didn't I do this day one? Operate with that authentic voice where I had no fears of getting the promotion or getting the raise or getting the bonus or whatever it was that holds you back. And the same thing with friendships, like these oh God, the dog, hold on. And with friendships too, that people are afraid to lose that friend and they walk on eggshells. And so that will really resonate with a lot of our audience, I think.
Yeah, I talk about that a lot with friendships and relationships. It's really funny. We outgrow friendships, not all of them, but we do. We outgrow friendships and we hold on to friendships that don't feel good. Mm-hmm. Why? The sad truth is some people aren't happy for our happiness and we have to be a certain way in order to get their approval. And that just doesn't feel good.
Right.
Yet we continue to try to fit in mm-hmm. instead of just being like, they don't have to be wrong. It's just, hey, this isn't working for me anymore. This doesn't feel good. And I want to feel good.
And you evolve, hopefully. And great friendships will actually challenge your thought process and your interests. And if it doesn't and it's safe and they just yes you to death or agree with everything you say, that's also not a beneficial friendship.
A lot of people that I work with is interesting. They are very intuitive. They are very in touch with themselves. Mm-hmm. They just don't know they are. And they get very confused in relationships because they are sensing something different than they're hearing. So the words and actions don't match the feeling they're getting from somebody. And that's very confusing. But once you start to trust that feeling, that energy, mm-hmm. then you start surrounding yourself with people that make you feel good. And that really is the bar. Like, I want to feel good. Does this make me feel good?
Mm-hmm. How do you let people know that someone has that feel good energy? This is a great person for you, whether it's a friendship or a lover. How do you help people identify that?
I think I give them permission. So many people think something's wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And so their self-trust becomes broken. And for a lot of different reasons, but being that self-trust, that comes along with the reestablishment of self-love. Mm-hmm. Trust yourself. Mm-hmm. Trust it and be in connection with how it feels. And once you start doing that, you just rely on it. And if they feel good around someone, that's a good indicator. If they don't, then something's off. And it doesn't even matter what it is. It's not like I just cut people out of my life. Mm-hmm. And how I do that when there is something off is, it first, it's just you can create distance. It doesn't have to be a big conversation all the time. Sometimes it's just you allow distance to happen. Mm-hmm. And you're still super kind and positive and energetic. But they just don't get to be part of your inner circle. Having access to you and who you are and what you're going through is not something that everybody gets to have inside seats for.
Right.
And then sometimes it is a difficult conversation.
So how do you help them love themselves?
We uncover the root cause of their issue, which is usually unhappiness or depression or anxiety. And in some way, shape, or form, it's a belief that is related to their lovability. It's mm-hmm. something like, I'm not lovable. I don't matter. I'm insignificant. I don't deserve love. I'm not inherently worthy. I have to do, be, or have certain things in order to earn love, something like that. And once they've uncovered it through imagery, really, using some language, I direct the mind to go to different times in their lives that they came to that conclusion. And it's often multiple, multiple times. Mm-hmm. And then they're able to see the pattern. It's not even me doing the work. They see the pattern. And it's a little bit like why I came to that conclusion, but it's not true. What is the truth? Or I wasn't the problem. It was the parent, this, you know, it was my mom who was dealing with her own pain, but I took all that on for myself and I became the bad one. So once they have that aha moment, mm-hmm. it really is like an aha moment. The weight is lifted, you're free. And then I give people a recording. I make a personalized recording based off of the journey they've been through, mm-hmm. reinforcing the beliefs that they want to have. And then they listen to that recording every day for 21 days. And they start feeling different because they start thinking different because right. they are different. And I'll give you an example. Right. One of the things that I struggled with was becoming overwhelmed. And one of the things the practitioner used in my recording was, you have phenomenal coping skills. You're able to handle things as they come at you. You use your resources, problem solve, pivot. And I just listened to it and it felt good to listen to it. But a few days later, there was a situation. I have four kids. So there was a situation.
You need to pivot.
Right. That I normally would have lost it or been completely overwhelmed. And I handled it with such grace that I was a little bit like, who is this person?
Yeah.
And I said to myself, good thing I have phenomenal coping skills.
Right. And love it.
It wasn't an affirmation that I was trying to convince myself to believe. I actually believed it.
Right. Right. Because it's really like hypnotherapy. The repetitiveness really is what helps the brain believe it. Is that correct?
Yes. So I do work with the subconscious mind. I do have 3 certifications in hypnotherapy, but I don't really hypnotize people anymore. I mm-hmm. use hypnotic language, though.
Right.
And I know how to access the subconscious mind. And so I just think we're so disconnected. I had a client yesterday that we were talking about her anxiety, and I asked her some questions, and she started to say, I don't know. And I don't know. I was like, if you did know, what would the answer be? And she had to stop and think about it. And then the answer came up, but we don't really inquire within that often. We stay busy.
Right.
And with our consciousness and focus and awareness on everyday consciousness without just stopping and being, wait, how do I feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on? What do I want?
What steps can you take when dealing with these mental health issues? When someone is overwhelmed and they're always ruminating about a problem, or as you say, mm-hmm. just don't feel like they deserve love, what's the first thing they can do?
Get to the belief. And the way they can do that is, I'm upset about this. State the fact, like, this happened, whatever it was. And what am I making that mean about me?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, what am I making? Like, you can do that with an argument with a spouse. Okay, I'm mad because they did this or said this. What am I making that mean about me? I'm making it mean that my opinion doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that a belief that I have? That's what's causing you pain. That's just what needs to be healed, is that belief that I don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that is deep-seated. And I call it the ugly truth. And you can do it subconsciously with a practitioner. But if you want to just start this work, start saying, what am I making this mean about me? Mm-hmm. And then that uncovers the belief. Is that true? No, I definitely matter. In fact, I matter so much. I'm running this household. I do matter. And I can speak up. That's not true. And mm-hmm. so then you create a truth statement. And a truth statement is the truth, and it feels like relief. And then you're talking your mind. In the past, I have felt like I don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
That pattern continues to show up, and I latch onto it like a teddy bear. However, I'm sick of my story. Like when you get sick of your own stuff.
Right.
And I now am going to move forward as someone that does matter,
mm-hmm.
as someone whose opinion matters. And then when you start talking yourself into that, then people that don't listen to you will literally fall out of your life. And that's the other thing. Oftentimes, I want this work to come with a warning label, because if you're so unhappy that you're having panic attacks or severe anxiety or chronic unhappiness, there's something in your life that is not working for you that you're not paying attention to, mm-hmm. and needs to change. But the change is always the highest good for everyone, always positive, and you just allow it and let things fall away that need to fall away, and embrace things in that need to come in. But we're so afraid of change, and
mm-hmm.
just even telling yourself it's scary. Change is welcome. I need change. I want change. Bring it.
What if you're an introvert and you don't have that many friends already, and you might be afraid of cutting out the friend, even if they're not helpful?
I would say if someone was an introvert and didn't have many friends and they had a friend that's not helpful. But so just what are you telling yourself about this? What am I making it mean if I do let go of this friend? What am I afraid might happen? I'm afraid that I won't have any friends. That might be true for a little while, but does it have to be true forever? No, it doesn't. What can I do to help that situation? Can I reach out to other friends and start asking, hey, let's go out, and then I might meet people through them? Or just sitting in intention. It's really funny. What we expect does tend to realize. And so if you expect, I expect new friends and relationships that are in alignment with me and who I am to appear in my life. It's funny how they'll show up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about positivity, that's just not believing that way is a thought pattern.
Right.
And it's just a pattern. It's a thought that you continue to think.
And also, it opens up space for the right people.
Yes, I talk to so many people about surrender,
right,
and letting go. And
I do
so
too.
But then once they do finally let go and come to an acceptance of how things are or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that's when, if you wait in that heartfelt moment of release,
mm-hmm.
magic will happen. And then something comes in, some opportunity, some person. It might just be some realization. I don't want that friend. In fact, wow, I was so afraid of letting go of that relationship. But man, it feels good mm-hmm. to not have that negativity in my life.
Yeah. Even the dating scene today is so different. And I just can't even imagine swiping right. And I think it gives this illusion that there's always someone better. And it's actually programmed people's brains that way. They'll have someone great right in front of them and they're thinking, oh, there must be something better. And they,
well, because they're not perfect, yeah.
But it's really interesting because I do feel like people have this more desperate need to make it work, even if it's a wrong fit, that I don't remember seeing when I was growing up.
And what belief do you have? Because there's not enough, or there aren't good people, or
right.
I'm not never going to meet anybody. That's why if you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing and it's not happening, there is a belief that you have that is holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
And I have worked with people on relationships, and we get to the beliefs they have that are usually self-protective that hold people away.
Mm-hmm.
And you heal that, and then they touch base and they're in a new relationship. And I chuckle because I know how that works. If we remove the belief, everything takes care of itself.
Everything falls into place.
It's funny because my marriage is a second marriage. So I chuckled because I did do that. swipe, swipe left for a hot minute. I just was like, because I did dating the old fashioned way too.
Right, right.
I was not a fan.
Yeah.
But it's
also superficial because you're basing everything on looks. And
oh, it was horrible.
Maybe the witty comment they said, which was probably written by the roommate.
It was horrible. And I did delete the app and just was like resolved to, I'll just be happy and single forever. I'm cool with that because no thank you to this. But what did happen was I was with a girlfriend swiping and I saw a picture of a man that I had known from years ago in my life. At the time I knew him, I was married. He was married to someone else, but he was an acquaintance. And I just was like, oh, he must be divorced. Interesting. That man reached out to me.
Because he saw you on the app?
No, I didn't know we were Facebook friends. We were Facebook friends, and he noticed that I was starting to post pictures with just me and my kids, and he reached out to me, and for a few weeks every day it was, hey, how was your day? And I was like, great. And after a few weeks I was like, what's going on? Is he gonna ask me out, or are we just... But he ended up being the love of my life. Okay. And we are together, and we had a baby during COVID that united our family.
That's fun.
But that's what I got from that. But everything has purpose, but you follow what feels right. So it didn't feel right to do that. So I totally stepped back, let go, and then something came in.
And also, it's right if it feels effortless, like things just fall into place. A lot of times people will like force an issue, or if they're looking for a job, then they keep trying to make it work, keep calling the same company. And sometimes it's like, it shouldn't be that hard.
It's just the next step. Mm-hmm. And I'm a recovering controller. And so I let go continually. Mm-hmm. I'll notice that I'm starting to push based on how I'm feeling, and I'll be like, oh yeah, okay.
And that's a really important theme in life. And I see a lot of women doing that. And my daughter just gave me a recent example. She doesn't golf, and she was learning how to golf, and she's a former athlete. So probably puts a lot of pressure on herself. And she said she went golfing and she was trying to control it and trying so hard because she couldn't believe it didn't come easily. And finally she just gave up and just said, whatever. And she was killing it. And she just, I know I need to just let go and surrender. And it's the same thing in life, in every aspect of our life. When you do surrender and release and let go, all of that makes it so much
easier. Thinking of your listeners, if they're sitting there going, oh, and it's really funny because the right answer is always the answer we don't want to hear. Oh, and I don't want to hear the answer, just let go. But I just did it with a client yesterday. I just said, just step back for a second and just take a deep breath and just let go. Just, and she was breathing and I said, I can't hear your exhale. And like when we let go, it's like a, and I said, and inhale and let go some more. And inhale and let go even more. And keep doing that until you feel a sense of relief and peace. Mm-hmm. And then if you can pick that rope back up, or you can stay in that kind of good feeling space as long as you want to. And you just do that over and over again. I'm getting ready to travel tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, I said, I'm just going to go with the flow, whatever happens, because I'm traveling and I have an appointment 2 hours after I land. So I'm like, I was doing the math and I said, you know what? I am going to go with the flow, and whatever happens is supposed to happen. If I don't make the meeting, then I wasn't supposed to have the meeting.
Right.
But that was not the way the old me would have seen that situation.
Tell us about some mindfulness communication techniques that help people with inner conflicts.
First, I do have to say this takes practice and time and intention. It's not like you hear about all these things and then just, okay, now my relationship's healed, because you have to deal with it little by little. But the first thing is, I just had this moment after an argument with my husband that I was like, I don't want to do it this way anymore. And I came in the house, because we were in the car and he got out of the car and came in, and I came in the house and I was stripped down. I didn't have my defenses up. I was stripped down. And I said,
Can we just agree that I love you and you love me and nobody's trying to hurt each other here?
Mm-hmm.
And can we talk about how we're feeling about it with our defenses down? And he looked at me and he like wanted to, but yeah. He told me later, he'd never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the same team. I love you. You love me. We're not against each other. We're actually seeking to understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the intent. You seek to understand each other and you always assume positive intent. Even with someone that's doing something that's not nice, I assume positive intent. Now, it might be positive for them and not positive for me,
mm-hmm.
but I assume that they mean. And so I'm seeking to understand their point of view. Man, why did you do that? Why did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought you should know. Because I want you to know that your outfit looks horrible. Whatever it is. And so then I can understand. I said, I understand what you're saying, but I'm good. And so always assume positive intent. If you can come together, strip down, and then you speak your truth honestly, kindly, and directly.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about these three traps of an argument. The three traps of an argument are, and if you start just like stepping back in an argument and observing it, you'll see this in every argument. Even on TV, you notice it. The first thing is defensiveness. So somebody gets defensive.
Mm-hmm.
They feel attacked. I didn't do that. I didn't say that. Da, da, da. The second thing is they attack. You, this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do that to feel better, right? And then the third thing is they extrapolate. You always this, and 10 years ago that, and now we're talking about last year, last summer, how I am in my very core of my being, mm-hmm. and what were we even arguing about in the first place? And so the strategy that you use in that kind of conversation, which is especially helpful with family members or difficult family members or mm-hmm. narcissists, is you calmly bring the conversation back to the point. You asked me what I thought about that, and I don't think it's a good idea, and I'm sorry that you don't agree with that, but I don't think it's a good idea, and this is why. I don't see it that way. I understand how you see it, and so I'm not getting rattled. Now, if I do become triggered, because I'm human, I'm not perfect, and I haven't healed every single trigger within me. If I do become triggered, the conversation's over for a hot minute until I can return to my center.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I have an agreement. I'm just so lucky that he has agreed to go on this journey with me that you get a do-over. Would you like to try that again? And it's not, would you like to try that again? It's just, we have an agreement, and what that phrase is supposed to mean is, I know you didn't mean to talk to me that way. I know that this is your triggered self stepping forward. So would you like to take a breath and try that again?
Yeah, just,
you know,
tone and phrasing is everything.
Honest, kind, and direct. You can say really ugly truths if you say them honestly, kindly, and directly with good intention.
Yeah. So you can live argument-free, you're saying.
Yeah, but you have to be able to allow people to have different opinions than you and see it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, that's a lot of what conflict is. They don't see it the same, so they're the bad guy. And mm-hmm. they're not the bad guy. They just don't see it like me because they're not me. And so it's okay for us to have a difference of opinion. And that doesn't have to mean
mm-hmm.
that we need to continue to argue about it or that I need to continue arguing my point. It's just they don't agree.
And maybe I've said this question, but I understand you do not believe in the disease model of depression and anxiety. Can you tell us more about that?
I think if someone is acutely depressed or anxious, and this is not the kind of work that you do in the middle of a clinical situation, you go get help just like you would if with a gunshot. You don't go see your acupuncturist.
Right.
And you get stable. And then I really want to do the work now. I want to find out what's really going on. And I didn't know that it was possible to not be depressed. I thought that was a disease that I'd have my whole life, and that I know that's a controversial statement and people can disagree with me. Mm-hmm. But I think even if I had a day or two or 5 weeks of sadness or grief, we can call it sadness or grief and allow that process to happen without calling it depression. I feel like depression is a symptom. It's a label. Mm-hmm. And my very premise is, what if nothing is wrong with you? What if you are the appropriate amount of sad for the sad things that have happened to you? Mm-hmm. What if you are the appropriate amount of angry for the way you were treated? What if you were left feeling traumatized, overwhelmed, numb? But all we know to do is call that depression and anxiety. But what if you just need to heal, and by heal, become aware of the beliefs and thought patterns that you have that are contributing to your emotional pain, and taking responsibility for that? No one's going to save you. Mm-hmm. You have to save yourself. And so being committed to the changes and to allowing feelings to, oh, what do I'm feeling? That's sadness. And I do a lot of somatic work. Where does that sadness live in your body? Because mm-hmm. I believe the emotions literally get trapped in our body. Mm-hmm. And then we work with that sadness, interpret the message, and then release it. And people feel lighter. They feel freer. I wouldn't call myself depressed again if I was sad or crying. I would say, what's going on that I need to pay attention to?
So how can you recognize depression in your child or your loved one, your husband, your wife? Because my brother actually mm-hmm. took his life, and mm-hmm. I didn't know he was that sad. And I talked to him almost every day. So I started to hear like negative self-talk, which I was trying to pull him out of, but I was shocked.
But you didn't know it was going to go that far.
And so that, because when we say it's really up to them, but I didn't live near him, so it was hard to see the signs, but I had all these.
First, yeah. I hear a lot of guilt.
It's, I know.
The fact that your brother was considering taking his own life was a secret that he held. And if you had known that information, you would have acted, but you didn't. And
right.
So the grief really is deep sadness, right? I forgot what that term is that they use now about depression that's hidden. Mm-hmm. And I had that.
Really? No, so you hit it. You put a...
When I shared with people that I was depressed, they were shocked. When I left my marriage...
Yeah.
And I shared with people that I was thinking of taking my own life if I had to stay in that situation.
Wow.
They were shocked. What do you mean? You have a perfect life.
Right.
You know, perfect life.
Right.
You got the house, the kids, the this, the that. But they didn't know I was crying in my closet every day.
Yeah.
They didn't know that I was so depressed I wanted to die.
Did you let anyone in?
I was really shocked. I actually did share that piece of information with a couple very close friends, and I was surprised at their reaction. I think that's big news, and they didn't know how to hold that or what to do about it, and mm-hmm. so they distanced themselves from me. They didn't help me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was just, you need to see somebody about that.
Too heavy. I can't deal.
Yeah, And so I think when people, we've normalized depression and anxiety, actually. Mm-hmm. I think when people say, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form, I think we need to stop.
Right.
And pay attention. And we need to let them know they're not going to feel that way forever. Not
right.
Invalidate how they're feeling now.
Right.
We don't try to get them to look on the bright side. We say, we sit with them and be like, oh my gosh, I feel your pain. I feel your sadness. I'm so sorry that you're feeling this way. Is there any way that you can know that this feeling will not last forever? Because maybe you felt this way before and it lifts, it changes, and mm-hmm. you have to move through it, or you have to allow the world to pass you by as mm-hmm. it moves past you. And what you need to do is extreme self-care. Mm-hmm. What do you need to do? What do you need? Do you need to go stay in a house for a few days by yourselves? Do you need to be around people? Do you need to go to yoga? Do you need to do meditation? Do you need to take time off work? What do you need? And I don't know.
Sometimes they don't know, but
sometimes they don't know.
Just letting them know that one step at a time.
That it won't always be that way, that they just have to get through this hard part. Mm-hmm. And that once they're feeling better, then they can do things that will help them feel even better. They can find out the source. Like, why am I feeling this way? What is causing? There's a reason. There's a cause. And people do believe it's, and I did, my biochemistry is off. Maybe. Yeah, probably. And I think negative thoughts
do that.
Affect our biochemistry. Yeah. Right?
Definitely.
And so if you're not going to do the work, yes, take medicine to correct that imbalance. Yeah. But I don't think that anything's wrong with biochemistry. I think you need to really be honest with yourself. Why am I so unhappy that I don't want to be here? There's a reason you're unhappy in your life or your job or your relationship, or you have a, like, or just like things are just not going your way. The waves won't stop coming and you just keep getting hit down.
Right.
And then that's where we start. Not at the depression and the symptoms of the depression. Mm-hmm. We start at what in your life is making you so unhappy that you're feeling this way.
Right. So you can take steps to alleviate some of the pain.
Yeah.
So what do you suggest to do when someone's grieving loss of a close friend or family member?
I suggest feeling the pain. Mm-hmm. We avoid uncomfortable feelings and we avoid pain. And I would actually encourage someone to have that gut-wrenching cry that is sitting somewhere in their body wanting to come out, but we're holding it in. I would encourage you to feel the feelings, knowing that's the only way to release them, to feel better, to... I had a client come to me for weight loss.
Yeah.
He was on a nutrition plan. And he was a little overweight and he was on a nutrition plan and he was going to the gym every day and he was being really strict. And so he hadn't lost a pound. Mm-hmm. And he came to see me and I never know what's going to happen. It's never about food or working out. It's about, with one client with weight loss, it was they got love and food all confused. Another one was not being able to sit with uncomfortable feelings. So they went to food. For him, we revisited the death of his father 9 years prior. Aww. He had to be the strong one. Mm-hmm. He had to make all the decisions. He never felt it. This guy who was like military cried like a baby.
Yeah.
He felt it. He felt the emotions that he never allowed himself to feel. Yeah. He lost 9 pounds in 30 days.
Wow.
I would say don't hold it.
Yeah.
Find, and I want to have that cry, but it's just not coming. What do you need? Like, find somebody that can help you with that. Find somebody that does deep dives with breath work. Find someone that does somatic work that can help you release that grief from your body. Mm-hmm. But I would just say, allow yourself to feel the sadness, the grief, the anger, the rage.
Right before this conversation, I got a text message and an email from a friend who was working with the most renowned Lyme doctor in the country. And he talked about, for healing Lyme, it had people who are susceptible or most susceptible have a deep-rooted psychic, internal, psychological battles. And that when you resolve whatever you're holding inside, then the disease is eliminated. It's wild and it makes so much sense.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be. Some people, I always ask people, do you have a background of trauma? And some people are like, no, I have no, I had a therapist come see me and I had the perfect upbringing. I have no idea. And she was fascinated by the subconscious aspect of it. And trauma is our interpretation of an event oftentimes.
Right.
So something that happened that we made it, what did we make it mean about us? We made it mean I'm not good enough the way I am. That's going to cause some unhappiness if you believe that I'm mm-hmm. not good enough the way I am. Mm-hmm. If you don't love yourself and believe that you have inherent value just for breathing.
We're all here for a reason.
Or it's not okay to be me. I see that a lot too. People have that belief. It's not okay to be me.
Yeah.
The me that is me is not acceptable. Gosh, that's miserable.
Yeah.
And it can be. And so we use imagery. People will revisit scenes. I had a client that revisited a scene when she was 3 years old. And you don't get caught up. Did that really happen? Your mind is playing charades with you and telling you a story mm-hmm. and telling you, trying to show you this is what you believe about yourself. She was 3 years old. She was in a dress. The dress was wrinkled because she'd gone and played. And her mom was angry at her for wrinkling this dress. And she didn't know why, but she was supposed to look nice for some reason. And what did she make that mean? That she was a bad girl, that she yeah. had disappointed her mom, that she had done a bad thing.
That's such a and common was, story.
And she was three. She's going to go play.
Yeah.
Her dress that's supposed to say nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's a common story. And as children, we have to make things mean bad things about us because we can't think that our survival is threatened because the people that are taking care of us are incompetent. Listen. It's safer for me to be the bad guy than mm-hmm. to believe this person has no idea what they're doing or not in control of their emotions or has the emotional regulation of a three-year-old, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's healing that. It's healing mm-hmm. that and inquiring about that. And I often say the subconscious work has really gotten a bad rap, but Freud and Jung, the fathers of psychotherapy, knew that's kind of where all the gold was. And so I don't know what happened where we got away from that and it became like we're something. But it's actually it's your subconscious mind, your brilliant subconscious mind that knows everything about you. It's been present for every conversation and mm-hmm. event in your life.
Can you tell me what magnet therapy is? Because I saw that on your website and I was just curious.
Oh, yeah. TMS. I think I listed that as things that I tried to get better because mm-hmm. I was really on a mission to feel better. Mm-hmm. It's called TMS and it's I don't know if it's a newer therapy. I'd never heard of it. And you go and they put a big, huge magnet, like a machine, mm-hmm. against your skull, on the outside of your skull, and gives pulsing waves. And it's supposed to help with depression. And I was so mm-hmm. desperate that I did that. And because nothing would help. I just had this inner sadness. I called it an inner crying or a silent scream mm-hmm. that I just didn't want to be here and I didn't know why. And I just could never be happy. It didn't matter what the outer circumstances were. So I tried it and I'm sure it's helped a lot of people, which mm-hmm. is why it exists as a treatment. For me, it gave me horrible nightmares, like just the most grueling nightmares that would wake me up and I'd be in a sweat and breathing hard and panicking. But apparently the doctor that referred me, it really helps people. And that's why they call my depression treatment-resistant depression, because nothing that was supposed to work would work.
Did you ever try why am I blanking out? Any type of frequency healing?
I did. I tried, yes. I went and I did frequency. I did so many things.
Yeah.
But, and all of these things, like yoga. I love yoga. I do yoga now.
Right.
But for me, and so it's individual for you, right? You got to do what calls you, what works for you.
Right.
And if something works for you, great. But when I was doing that magnet therapy, my mom came with me to one session. And I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this. But I did say this to her. She was talking to me about, your brother this and that. And it was regular Tuesday. And I said, Mom, I'm sitting here with a magnet to my head because I'm so unhappy I want to die. I don't care.
Yeah.
<You know? laughs> Can we put this in perspective? But, and so that was the answer. You said, did I share it with people? I felt really, once I did start sharing it with people, I felt like people didn't take me seriously.
Yes. That's how it feels when you describe that situation. Right.
Yeah. It was like very surreal.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at your picture, look like the vision of happiness, honestly. So I could see how you could hide this easily. So it does seem like you would think, oh, she's just having a moment, or dismiss it.
Yeah. It just became intolerable to continue to live with it. And mm-hmm. and I see myself as a depression warrior. Mm-hmm. And the message is, you aren't inherently flawed. Nothing's wrong with you. You have some things you need to deal with. You have some things you need to address. And you need to turn around with your metaphorical sword drawn and face it.
Right.
Because you've put so much energy into not facing it, but that's not working out so well for you.
But you were able to silence the inner critic. How long did it take? Or do you still run into situations like that?
I still run into situations like that, but I have been able to, I recognize it when mm-hmm. it's happening. Mm-hmm. Wait, whose voice is that? And whose voice is that? You can ask yourself that. And because I said something the other day and I was like, wait, whose voice is that? I was like, oh no, that's my ex-husband's voice. That's not my voice. Mm-hmm. And then I have this exercise. You give that person back their words. Here's your words. I don't want to hold them anymore. You tripped over them. Here they are. And then just understanding that the inner critic thinks it's helping us. It thinks it's keeping us in line mm-hmm. so that we will be accepted, loved, and embraced mm-hmm. and approved of. It really does love us very much and thinks it's helping us. It doesn't know that it's making us feel horrible. And so we dialogue with it and just, you know, mm-hmm. what you're doing isn't accomplishing what you think it's accomplishing.
Right. It's such freedom to be authentic.
It thinks you won't be okay if you do that. Mm-hmm. And so you have to tell it, listen, I'm making a bold decision here that's against the grain, and I might fall flat on my face, and I might fail, and I might be rejected, judged, ridiculed, and laughed at. All that might happen. Mm-hmm. But if that does happen, I'll be okay. I might cry. I might be a little hurt, mm-hmm. but I'll be okay. I'd rather do that than stay in safe city. And yeah. so once you can convince that inner critic, then the inner critic will step back and be like, all right. And it doesn't help for you. I wrote letters to myself over the summer. I wrote a letter to dear doubt, dear fear, dear negativity. They were breakup letters. Okay. And I just told the fear, you're not helping. Mm-hmm. You think you are, but you're not. You're keeping me safe, but small. Mm-hmm. And I was about making forward steps in my business, and I want to help people.
Right.
And in order to help people, I need to be more visible. Mm-hmm. And I know you don't want me to be visible because then I might be rejected, but I'm willing to take that risk.
Right. And upbeat and sound like such a great success story. Like it's unbelievable that you would ever suffer. So I love that. It makes
Thank
it
you.
Easy for people to go to you because you've been there. You understand.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm really not into invalidating people. And what you're feeling is your experience, but let's dive into what's underneath that. Mm-hmm. And do you want to continue to feel and think that way?
Right. How can people get in touch with you if they want to sign up and get some help through you or your website information, if you could let them know?
Yeah, they can get in touch with me on my website, claireunkerfer.com. And that's UNCAPHER. I'm really excited. Just in the next week or two, I'm getting ready to launch a community. It's going to have incredible value. Every course I've ever done, live group coaching calls, pre-recorded sessions. And then I release monthly, I call them meditations, but they're more like subconscious journeys. All of that will be on there. And so just creating a space for people that don't want, I do work with people one-on-one and I do the deep work, but some people just they want the information, but they want to do it at their own pace and at their own commitment level. And mm-hmm. so creating a space and community for people to do that.
Well, that sounds cool. Well, thank
you. Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
thank you so much for joining us today. I know I've learned a lot, and I hope to have you back on again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Sorry, I was choking. Sorry.
Okay. No problem.
Now I'm going to do the meditation, but thank you so much. That was really helpful. It was really great information.
Oh, thank you. It was a great conversation. Yeah. And I'm really sorry about your brother. And I hope that's helpful. I would just say I did feel a lot of grief from you, a lot of guilt.
Yeah. Because you described the guy with his father, and that's my role in my family. I'm the one who fixes everything and does everything, and yeah. I'm the strong one. So of course I talked to him every day. Of course I thought I should have seen it and known. And I did. I always thought, I just can't wait to retire with him and show him how to be.
Yeah.
But he was like the most loved guy in Richmond, Virginia. Like, he was so funny. So it was like when Robin Williams died, no one could believe it. That's how it's been with my brother. So
yeah, it was that inner pain that we don't share with people. He didn't share it with you.
Yeah.
He didn't share the depth of it with
you. No, he didn't. Yeah. But you're right. That's how I have to look at it.
And you don't have to, that role, that strong one.
Yeah.
You don't have to play that role if you don't want to.
I know. It's getting exhausting.
You can tell people, I don't have capacity for that right now.
Yeah. Can you tell on the firstborn?
Yeah. And they don't have to understand. That's the thing. They don't have to understand. I don't have capacity. I'm sorry. I don't have capacity for that right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm allowing myself to go through this.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and it's not my job to take care of everybody else when I need to be taken care of too.
Yeah. So. No, I know. I'm trying to take care of his kids because it's a lot for kids to go through. But anyway, that's why
if you are in Virginia Beach, give me a call.
I totally will. We'll have
to
go
to
for coffee or lunch or something because I actually do have to visit them. It might be even next weekend. So I just have to look at flights.
Oh, I'm out of town next weekend.
Oh, bummer.
No, I don't leave till Sunday. So I'll be here Friday and Saturday.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Then I'll text you and let you know and see if you're around. That'd be fun.
Awesome. I'd love to catch up.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Mary Kay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now we're going to do a short meditation so that you really can surrender and let go of the thoughts and feelings and emotions that maybe don't serve you. And just try to feel this heaviness in your body so you feel grounded wherever you are. And we're going to learn to relax each part of our body, preparing for meditation. So allow your concentration to rest on your right foot. Wiggle your toes. Now relax your foot and allow your attention to move to the right calf. Is there any tension there? If so, let it go by tensing the muscles and then releasing them. Now move your awareness to your right thigh, then your buttock, then the abdomen, your chest. Then down your right arm to your hand and back again to your shoulder. Then to the muscles of your face. Finally to the crown of your head. And be aware of any tension and let it go. Notice how each body part feels. Be aware of both the sensation on the skin and deeper sensations in the muscles themselves. Now continue the process by moving down the neck, the left shoulder, the left arm, the back, and down the left leg to the foot. Just clearing your mind helps improve your patience, your memory, creates this tranquility. It'll help you concentrate. And tranquility arises naturally from the alert state of peaceful being. Take a deep breath in and a long breath out. Your eyes are closed, so turn your intention inward. Just watch the thoughts as you pass through your awareness, and don't judge them or attempt to hang on to pleasant ones, or even push the unpleasant ones away. Just watch. Notice the content of these thoughts, how one thought leads to another, and soon enough you have this unusual chain of thoughts going off in different tangents. And just notice how your mind will distract your attention. Now notice how easily your awareness does actually disappear. Take a deep breath in and a long breath out, relaxing the muscles, slowly exhaling all the tension. Set it free with your out breath. Turn your attention inward. Again, watching the thoughts pass through your awareness without judging. Trying to hang on to the pleasant thoughts. Focus on your breath. Anytime the thoughts overwhelm you, redirect your attention to the breath. To center your body and increase the body awareness, sway side to side 2 or 3 times. Continue taking a few deep, slow breaths and practice that deepening of concentration as your mind turns inward. Allow awareness to settle in the nostrils as you breathe in and out. And just take a moment to thank your mind and body. Thank this life you've created. And imagine breathing in all the light and love you can possibly inhale, filling up your heart and your brain. And now let that light and love shine out through your heart, expanding exponentially into the universe. It's lighting up the world. And then send that light and love to someone you love. Take a deep breath in and another long exhale. And now send that light and love to a mentor, someone who helped you with no skin in the game. They went out of their way to make life a little bit easier for you. Now take another deep inhale. Exhale, releasing any lingering tension, letting the body feel heavy and relaxed, grounded. And this time I want you to send light and love to someone you don't like at all. take another deep inhale, another long exhale. Thanks for joining us today. Namaste.